Yes, that actually happened, and today we are talking about it.
What's it like, dude? What's it like?
Oh my gosh, man. Get in now, you guys, because this is just now episode 12. It's only going to go up from here, Dotto. Only up from here, man. Holy. I didn't think they'd do it.
This was a big win. This was a big win for the Dima heads that have been here since day one, Nano. Day one, week to week, except for last week, because, I mean, we had some stuff come up. We had to take a week off, but we were still strapped in. And this was clearly the payoff.
This was the payoff. And if anything, watching episodes 11 and 12 back to back was the prime way to experience this anyway.
Honestly, so. I didn't want to say that because that sounds like cope, but I actually do believe in what you're saying. This was a good ass, like, power hour. Like, if we were going to miss a week and have to watch two, that I'm so glad it was last one. We got elite. Well, spoilers, but it leaves off right at the end of some Tamagami fights. Ooh, and then fights, we just get right back to it. Fights. Plural. For Daima? That never happened. What do you mean fights, plural?
We were actually handling multiple fights. This is insane, dude. Anyways, how long do we just rip the Band-Aid off? Like, how long do we
right now? I say we just right now.
All right, listen, you clicked on a Daima specific podcast. You have like all of 1, 2. Oh, wait, it's too late. Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta, Dotto. What? Yeah.
So, for those that aren't key members that haven't seen the reaction, which if you want, you can become a member, go over there, check it out. But I let Nano know, okay, look, I did get this spoiled for me. I didn't see anything, I just saw an image of Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta. And I explained this, Nano, but my literal reaction was, oh, shit, we're getting a big Super Saiyan 3 moment? And then I was like, wait, why is Goku wearing the Saiyan armor? And then I read the tweet, and I was like, wait, what? And immediately I texted Nano. I was like, hey, don't even touch any of the internet stuff today. It's going to be impossible. This was finally Daima's moment where everybody actually talked about it.
I mean, This is a moment that I feel like people have been waiting in the States like 20 years for, right? I mean, like, I'm pretty sure there's been so many jokes about Vegeta not having three, which there's so much more we can talk about, especially specifically pertaining to a hot topic on this channel that would so frequently gets brought up, like Battle of Gods, which I'm sure there's like a reasonable explanation for why he wouldn't have used this there if he knew it and Bulma knew about it. And so it's not just like a demon realm thing that he can do, because if Bulma knew what he was doing, then it wouldn't just be a demon realm thing. But anyways, this is crazy. Not to mention, Dotto, it's a, you know what, we can pull, hang on, let me pull out my notepad here. We can mark down another Vegeta W, dude. We can actually,
this was a huge Vegeta W. In fact, it actually, look, there's not many times in the series where you get to see Vegeta confidently win. So I had no idea he was such a little aura farmer, dude. I guess I must have always known, because Vegito kind of is. But I could see the Vegito in Vegeta, you know?
Yes,
yeah. I could really see it today. It was palpable. It was in the air.
I mean, he was literally fighting with his legs. So, I mean, yeah, that's
like
Vegito.
He crossed his arms, and then he just never looked back. He started farming after that. My God, it was... I'm not even a Vegeta guy, by the way. I still think that was... I mean... Looking at you want to talk about a topic real quick? You want to actually get into some meat and potatoes?
Where does this
rank, just hot off the presses, you know, where does this rank in Vegeta moments for you?
I would say it's probably granted, we just finished this, but like,
yeah.
I'd say I could pretty confidently say like 10, top 10.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and, just come off the cusp here and say that this was easily my number one Vegeta moment of all time.
What?
And let me stress this. Easily the number one Vegeta moment of all time.
It was really good. It was animated really well. And like the build up to the moment was really good. Yeah. You know, I mean,
he farmed.
I wouldn't say it's my
favorite.
He went
Super Saiyan 3. The only thing is, obviously, and this is just kind of something you have to accept with Daima, is we are seeing Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta in baby mode. This would have been, if he was an adult out there doing this, oh my God. That would have been crazy. But still, even as a kid, honestly, the design looks pretty sick as a kid. Just because the hair, it looks more like Beast.
It does. So I am I crazy for thinking that this is more akin to the original Super Saiyan 3 design or something like
that? Yeah, like the one that Toriyama, like the drawing, the famous drawing that, you know, it's like the design early on. Like it was more like half cut.
Yeah, yes, yeah. It's like two but longer or something. Or so, you know, I don't know. It's not quite, it doesn't go all the way down to like his feet. That's more of what Vegeta got here, which I think is a pretty cool homage to that, and I'm sure was on purpose. So that also adds some layers to it. Also, just the transformation sequence was so cool. I rewatched it right before we hopped into the pod because I needed to see it again. It's so like beautifully done, man. Like it looks so good. Like
I mean, it just goes to show, Dato, that both of us separately, we finished the podcast. You know what I went to do? I also rewatched it because it fucking looked good, dude. This was fucking sick. Finally, dude. Holy shit, it was so sick. And this, you know what this did even more than just this episode? Big picture, the finale for this show is gonna be fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. I if they're going this crazy on episode 12, also there. So there we're on a break week next week. So there is no episode next week.
Earned.
So now I'm like, is this a 24 episode series? Like, are we on?
That would be. Oh, shit.
Like we did our 12. We're taking our tiny little break and then we're going to do 12 more. So it's probably because, again, people have commented this a lot, but there's never been a confirmation of how many episodes there actually are. So they're always just like, how are you guys getting this 20? Where have you guys seen this 20? And we just got this 20 from like what people are saying online. That is like the rumored amount. And that's just kind of where we're going with. So, which,
by the way, when it comes to Dragon Ball rumors, by the way, it's just people that know, they literally know, or they've been told information. So they think they know. And they're just saying it and passing it around so that it becomes like this rumor in air. Like, this happens with so much Dragon Ball stuff. It's basically like a report. You know, people... Damn, I'm getting on the... I had to find a soapbox to get on earlier. People shit talk about geekdom, like leaking shit. But basically all he does different is put his... At least he's putting his name on the line, right? He's reporting it. A lot of other people just know it and they keep it in inner circles, like inner discords. So that's where I think the rumor comes from. So 20 around there. But one, I think that'd be nice. And two, I don't know. I'm just hyped. This episode was so good that if they took the break and then like a 3-episode cooldown, like I'm ready to blow up some more ships. Like if we want to replace the ship, now is the time. I'm locked in. It's true.
Oh, man. So, okay. So there's obviously... actually a substantial amount more to talk about. There's so much that actually happened here besides just even Vegeta getting Super Saiyan 3, but that's obviously the main thing that we wanted to talk about. Before we talk two more about that, there was another huge thing that happened in the combination of these episodes, which is that we got an entirely new, do we want to call Majin Buu a villain, an entirely new villain? Would you like, he doesn't feel very villain-esque to me.
He's on the villainous team right now, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know how long he's going to stay there. I don't know. Like, I think he'll stay there long enough that we do have to fight him, but I don't think he's staying there long enough that, like, if it's life or death, he might be like, you know what? I think I'm good. Like, who even is Dr. Arinsu? You know what I mean? Like,
I would agree. I think Ku's the more loyal one, and I think, sadly, you know, Ku's kind of getting the short end of the stick because he's not as strong.
Yes, yeah. And actually, that part kind of pissed me off specifically.
Damn, why'd you get angry, man?
Well, because, like, sure, man, whatever. He's like the Joker. He's not the fighter, but like he is the only reason that they got the question right. Essentially, Majin Buu was created in episode 11, which most of you guys have probably seen that at this point, and it's also a design that was leaked like forever ago. Is what Dotto said. But he was created, and immediately they go to fight Tamagami 1. That fight spans from episode 11 into episode 12. He actually defeats Tamagami 1, which I was not expecting to happen. I don't know. I just did not think that was going to happen. And then, of course, all of these end with, well, you got to do one more thing. You have to do this one more final test. And it's like this impossible number that ended up adding up to like 600 million. And Majin Kuu actually added all the numbers up and tells Majin Doo. And Majin Doo tells Tamagami 1 and they get the Dragon Ball. But Arnsu doesn't give Kuu the credit. Arnsu just assumes that Doo did that on his own. Because I think Kuu and him might have a link to one another or something like that. That's how he's able to do that without Tamagami 1 probably being like, hey, whoa, like this is a one-on-one thing. So we found that. I don't know if we knew that with Tamagami number 3. If we did, we forgot. But with specifically, they I guess there's a rule that like it's a one-on-one fight with Tamagamis. So
yeah, I think I mean, we didn't get any hard confirmation, but I do think it had to be something with that, just because I mean, Kuu seemed pretty pissed that his mom didn't know. But yeah, I think it's clearly setting up that they're gonna fuse. I hope. Yes. Anyway, I think that'd be cool, because apparently Kuu, not only is he the world's greatest door dasher, which he lived up to that name and then some, he clutched up, but the mental speed, like they're gonna be a fucking menace out here. Also, and there was actually so much in these episodes.
Yeah, these two episodes was insane lore drops, insane stuff happening, which, you know, I don't want to like bring the mood down, but this is also kind of our argument for some of those episodes that were a little slower of like, but I get it. You have to do that to them build, but like they can do both. You can have the insane lore and then you can also have this stuff. But all in all, we've been saying, I think we've said this entire time, even when we've given, I think we gave it one episode, like a 4, or you gave it a 4, I gave it a 5. Even when we're doing that, we're saying like, this show is still going to deliver. Like at the end of the day, when everything is said and done and we've seen the end of this series, everyone's going to look back on Daima fondly. Like it's just, I believe in that wholeheartedly. People still might have an issue that the majority of the series is probably with them as children still, but like it is what it is.
I think that'll always be there. Yeah. But this, man, this one, like I really just couldn't care less. It was that good. But yes, I do think like, oh man, just if we're getting on the soapbox again, literally like the difference in something like this and then immediately opening up TikTok and just seeing like, oh shit, like even like I just went on Twitter again and Bebop tweeted like, I can't believe I got instantly spoiled for Daima. It's like, dude, Daima's been so quiet that people have forgotten that a new Dragon Ball series is out and they're just willy-nilly getting on Twitter. I did it, bro. And I've been watching Daima since week one. It's just, I forgot when they come out in the US, which I'm back in the US by the timeline update. So it was immediate though. I think that shows that this is by far, this is the most exciting thing to happen. People actually are tweeting, posting about it, getting spoiled. And I feel like now we're going to see the ramp up now. This was the selling point. And now we're going to start seeing less and less of those. I'm not watching. What? Why would I watch that show? Now people are going to be like, okay, I guess I kind of have to.
I mean, yeah. And we've had this discussion too at Book Club, and we mentioned this too, but like we've said this multiple times with Super. We didn't lock in on Super until U6 versus U7. Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken, wait, what is Goku doing? Okay, I guess I got to watch Super. This is probably that moment more or less. Like, hang on, wait, Vegeta finally did what now? It looks amazing. Hang on, wait, let me go. All right, fine. Let me go see what's up. Let me see what's going on. So I know you said like 3 episodes of just whatever, but I kind of hope that I'm not saying we can't have a couple of cooldowns, but I hope that it's not a ton of cooldown. I hope they keep the pace up and stuff like that to keep people locked in.
Really? I mean, like, I just think, I mean, one, it's Daima, so I do think they're going to go back to it, but man, I mean, by the end of these 2 episodes, all the Tamagamis, and like you said, I actually do think they'll come back, be roped into the story. Maybe we'll get even a 3-man fusion. Because we do get confirmation that Neva can power these things up even more.
Yes.
So they're probably not done in the story, but their initial pitch to us as an audience is fulfilled. Like we just got to double kill both Tamagamis. Every Dragon Ball is out of the Tamagami's hands now.
Yeah.
It's 1 in Team Arnso, 2 in Z Fighters. What episode is 12, right? So 12, and then we suspect maybe another 12. We're halfway through. Mission 1 is complete. We're done. All we have to do is find the third one, steal it back, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, we don't even know what happens after that. I guess the very ending of this episode, Goma said, fine, I'll have to do this, or in that case, So maybe we'll finally get some Goma stuff. But I definitely didn't expect both Tamagamis to be done this quick.
No. That's what like really took me by surprise was the, I would call it the subplot, because I would say the main plot here would be Vegeta and Tamagami too, but the subplot being, you know, Dr. Arinsu already making, in episode 11, already making Majin Do, already being back to Tamagami 1 with the fight, and then in episode 12, actually defeating Tamagami 1, which it really felt like he wasn't going to, because he stops and starts crying because he wants chocolate, because there's a bit more Boo in this one than there was in the previous, you know, and then that's why Dada made the DoorDasher comment about Majin Koo, because Majin Koo goes and gets him actual chocolate, feeds him, and that's after then, like, Majin Do locks in, fights Tamagami 1, but Tamagami 1 also locks in because, as Dada mentioned, Neva gave Tamagami 2 a power-up, but Tamagami 1 gave himself a power-up and actually changed colors, and it really felt like Tamagami 1 was probably going to lock in and still get the win, because I also just, I felt like, I don't know about you, but in my head, I was already, like, thinking through, like, what was going to happen. I thought what probably would be is that Arinsu might get the first Dragon Ball off Tamagami 1, but it would be through a Do and Ku fusion. I actually didn't think Do was going to do it by himself. Like, I just feel like this is so, it's so obvious that these two characters are going to do some kind of like combined fighter thing to some extent. I mean, it feels,
it could just be that we know the bug is there, so we're like expecting it, but I definitely want to see it. I don't even think
because the way Majin Buu worked, I don't even think they need to do that. I assume that they
you're right, they can just absorb you. I didn't even think about that shit. No, you're right.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they can combine, like, that's why I was saying, like, I actually don't necessarily want them to. I'm not like super meathead with this. I don't need them to like permanently like absorb and combine, but I think it'd be cool if they did it like as a one-off to fight or something like that, which is why I thought was going to happen. But yeah, no, I mean, Tamagami 1 is already defeated. Like that, I don't, it's so crazy because just a few episodes back on the podcast, like, I was like, we still haven't, we've only done one thing. There's still like these five things to check off. But now all three Tamagamis have been defeated. I do hope that we do see them. I hope they are not. And I don't think they would have built them up and done all of this for them to already be done. I'm going to assume that there is something that they can do. I don't know if it's about, I don't know if it's a three-man fusion. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there is something that the three of them are going to be able to do later. I don't know, but they'll be good though. They'll be fighting whatever Goma has up his sleeve or Majin.
Go ahead.
Oh man, dude, I just realized if you combine their name, they're Count Dooku. So they're Majin Dooku.
Oh, you think that's what they're going to go for?
Oh man. Do you think Toriyama was a huge Star Wars fan?
I actually don't know. That feels like something that if it was the case, it would be out there. So it's probably researchable. But we're two white guys doing a podcast, Nana. What do we do? What do we need research for?
I'm literally about to Google it right now.
Would you be pissed if it was Kudu now?
When Dooku is right there and Count Dooku, like, that name just sounds good to me because I've heard Count Dooku for like, what, 20 years now since that dude was introduced. But I guess Kudu. Kudu? I don't know.
Well, what if it's like a thing where, you know, because Majin Ku's already getting the short end of the stick with his younger brother. What if he, like, gets self-conscious about it? So the fusion goes by both names, you know, Kudu and Dooku. I'm just, you know, writing down some fan theories. I'm just bouncing them up against you, seeing what sticks, you know?
Hang on.
You're actually researching this?
Yes, right, Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, was a big fan of Star Wars. He created a parody series called Mysterious Rain Jacket that featured prominent Star Wars characters like R2-D2, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, C-3PO, Princess Leia, etc.
Oh, shit. So you think he's making a little reference here?
Akira Toriyama was such a Star Wars fan that he even made some fan art while waiting for episode 1. Like Star Wars Episode 1.
The prequel.
Wait, this is sick. If this is, like, legit. Dude, Dotto, this is really cool. I'll have to give this to Toasty to show on screen for everyone. If you're an audio listener, I'm sorry.
Is it good? You can't post it in the old Discord?
Yeah, no, I am. Here.
Oh, you are? Okay, he's throwing it my way. Let's see the live reaction. Look,
this is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I got the Toriyama style. Damn, dude, that's sick.
All right, so yeah, it's definitely Majin Dooku then. All right, cool. That's all.
You're feeling confident now.
I feel real confident that that's probably what's going on here. All right.
I mean, I'm down. I didn't see that until now, but
I think, you know, just to do our part, because apparently there are some of you guys that still listen to this podcast, or we found out a lot of you guys listen to this podcast without watching. I'm sure you were at least going to go watch the like 4 minute fight segment of SSJ3 Vegeta. But I think the only thing that's worth noting from episode 11, before we just completely abandon that one, was, I mean, to me, the thing that sticks out was the fact that Neva and Piccolo met, and then Neva's like, hey,
Katas or something.
Yes.
Katas, Piccolo's dad.
Yes. I found it here on the wiki. Reminds him of Katas, who Piccolo says was his father. But that's not DKP, which then is why I was asking you if that is a reference to whoever DKP it's like father was, because technically isn't Piccolo just a reincarnation? It's like when he makes that egg and spits the egg out, that becomes Piccolo Jr. He's technically not his dad, right? That wouldn't make him his father. He's just a reincarnation of Piccolo, of DKP.
Gonna be honest, man, I have no idea. Just take the Dragon Ball card away now, bro. Just take it.
All right, Katats. He says Katats is an ancient Namekian and the father of the nameless Namekian that would eventually separate in a Kami.
Okay,
and King,
okay.
Kami and King, so you're Piccolo. Right. He is thus the grandfather of Piccolo Jr. That's what the wiki says.
Go. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're 100% correct then, because the wiki wouldn't be wrong.
I would hope not. All right, cool. Well, there you go. So that was a little lore drop. I think that, I don't know how important that really is, but that was something that was mentioned. And that was really the main, I mean, now that we've already talked about Do being created and Do fighting Tamagami 1, there's not really much else to really mention from episode 11. I mean, the fight with Tamagami 2 was pretty good. There's a lot of good like moments in there, but definitely a cliffhanger ending, because it ends as soon as what appears to be Vegeta getting stuck into the Tentacruel's mouth, dude, or the Kraken's mouth. It just ends.
I mean, yeah, it's still a must watch just because it sets up everything. Again, you know, it was kind of like a two-parter with this one. It's still a must watch because it sets up the fights that pay off in this episode, and it introduces the new Majin character. So yeah, overall, pretty great episode. Just kind of unfortunate that it gets overshadowed by the next one. Insanely heavy. Well, it works alongside.
Real quick, before we dive into any more of 12, let's give a rating to 11.
That's what I'm saying. That's a good spot for a rating, I must say.
You want to go? You go first on this one. I'll hold up my fingers for this one, and then I'll do 12. But
see, the thing is, I don't know. You want me? Wait, you want me to hold up my fingers?
No, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm okay, doing it. It's okay. You. It's you this time. You.
Let me ponder. Let me think. Let me consider.
I feel confident in this answer. So just for reference, you gave 9 a 4, and you gave 10 a 9, and which. Damn, you were glazing 10, bro. I gave 9 a 6 and 10 an 8. And then
why do we disagree so much on that one?
And then the previous episode, you were harsh on 9 specifically because 8 was the Tamagami 3 fight, and we both gave that 10s. And so coming off the hotness of Tamagami 3 versus Goku into episode 9, which was a very like stagnant episode, I think that's why you give that a 4. I don't know why you gave it number 10 a 9 though, Mike.
I have to rewatch, but to be honest, Nano, I don't think the glazing is gonna stop. Can I say, you want me to my score now?
I've already shown mine. I'm
good. Was considering it. I was thinking about it. I was wondering, should I lean back, should I pull off, or should I just go all in? And I think after the beauty that we witnessed, I have to go all in. Episode 11 gets a 10 for me.
What?
It's a 10. Yep.
Okay. I gave it a 9. So
I think that's respectable too. You know, if I didn't want to go whole horse here, if I wanted to hold back, I would have said 9. But I can't lie, bro. It was good. I mean, we were watching that episode 11, and as it was ending, you were like, have we even seen the mid card? And then I was like, yeah,
it was a good
episode.
It was.
You're like, it's moving so quick.
And I now know.
Time flies when you're having fun.
You know why you gave episode 10 such a high rating? Or anyway, higher than me.
Why?
That's the Majin Ku episode, man. That's Majin Ku versus Tamagami.
Oh, yeah. I did like that.
So
mine might be a little bit heavy glaze. I'm not going to lie. I'll have to go back and rewatch to see what my feelings, why, but Majin Ku was really funny. And I liked it and he won me over. So, and this episode did too. We got a new Majin, and he's good too. And he makes Ku look even better. So a 9 from Nano, a 10 from me, a fantastic start to this double episode feature.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Do they have the techniques on here for the episode we just watched already?
They named them already. That this is just not real. Like, surely they're just made up. What's some names for them?
Well, specifically, that Gallic gun is a hyper Gallic gun.
Oh, from Vegeta.
Yes.
Okay, because he's a Super Saiyan 3, so it's got to be hyper.
It's,
okay.
It's a variation of his Super Gallic gun used by Vegeta in his Super Saiyan 3 form.
All right. So they just wanted to heighten it up a little. I would approve of that one.
I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed. They have Mystic Ball Attack, which
okay,
that's
the classic.
That is in fact what he uses. Here's what we go with flight. These are the techniques. We got flight.
Okay.
Continuous energy bullet, which he does use. Okay. Vegeta does use. Obviously, this is combining both do and anyways. But body manipulation.
Okay, that's do.
Unlock potential.
That's
Neva to Vegeta? Tamagami too.
Oh, okay. I didn't think he was on the list, but okay.
Ki blast.
Yep.
Mouth energy wave.
Okay, that's do.
Headbutt.
Do again.
And the other
he
two
loves
we've already mentioned.
So. Okay. Yeah. No, I agree with all of those.
And then you go to the transformation section. We got Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 2, and Super Saiyan 3. And you wonder why this episode is having people make TikToks, man.
The more Super Saiyans, the more the TikTok ratio goes way, way up. Way up.
Do we want to have a Battle of the Gods discussion at all?
I mean, we could touch on it for just a second. It does bring up like I mean, it could. The thing is, this could just be nothing, but it does bring up the timeline thing again. Is this going to be the same timeline as Super? Because I assume what you're talking about is it is.
Dude, it is, man. They wouldn't have introduced us and shown us the Kais.
Did they confirm it?
They literally confirmed that they created all the universes when they escaped the demon realm, and then the Glens got assigned as Kais to the different universes.
It's not enough, bro. They could just,
I think
that's
a confirmation to me, man. We are in the same
off.
Super
they
timeline.
Just, they could end Daima and go, and in this timeline, they lived happily ever after.
I don't believe it.
I mean, I hope it's not the case, but that's why it's brought up, because if it isn't that way, Vegeta just chose not to use Super Saiyan 3 against Beerus.
Yes.
He just instead went angrier Super Saiyan 2.
Which, it's not like, by the way, I just wanted to touch on this. It really isn't that big of a deal. It could be a thing of like Super Saiyan 3, and if Super Saiyan 3 is like inefficient or something, it could be, it's really not that hard to like say why he didn't do it.
But it literally does not matter, by the way. It also just, it could just be forgotten and not matter at all and just not get brought up.
Yeah. I was just curious. I didn't know if we wanted to touch on that. I'm of the standing that I don't really think it mattered. And I'm sure like the super deep, like, lore heads could probably explain like, well, you see Super Saiyan 3 draws too much of this. Da, 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 so that's why you would have never used it in this situation. And also he didn't have time and it was an like an instantaneous snap, blah, 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 blah. And you know what I mean? You could probably come up with all kinds of, different reasonings, but anyways, okay. That's enough. That's enough of that. Is there anything else specifically in this episode? We talked about Goma with the hinting of obviously he's about to actually do something. The preview for next week is titled, hang on, what is it titled? Let me just like back up just a little bit. Surprise. And they show basically nothing. It's like all of two frames.
They definitely used all of the time. Every bit of runtime they had, they used.
It looks like Goku, they're in a place that looks, makes him look even smaller than normal. Like, he looks small. He looks like, you know, have you ever played Grounded?
Yes, I have, actually.
That's what it looks like. I'm so
they went super baby.
I'm so for real because they look like butt, like they are in it. Genuinely looks like grounded because they're on the ground. And it looks like it's just like blades of grass, but they're taller than Goku. And then it looks like insects are like stomping and like gerbils and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like a Daima-esque adventure. So,
and then
we could use that.
The one other thing in the preview is Arinsu staring at her Dragon Ball on her desk.
Okay. All right.
And then it's called Surprise. So
that was all of two. But again, they did use every bit of episode. I think we didn't even get an eye catcher, right? Like Vegeta
literally. There's no mid roll. Yeah, there's nothing.
Every second was used, which I liked a lot. And they should definitely bring that back for the finale. No eye catcher, just straight action.
I was already thinking about the finale. There's so much more to happen.
Bro, I'm telling you, after this episode, all I'm thinking about is how cool the finale must be. Some fusion, some like never before seen form. You could convince me Super Saiyan 4 is going to happen now. I'd believe it.
Are you, bro? I actually think this kills Super Saiyan 4 for me.
Really?
Yeah. I think this officially killed Super Saiyan 4. I think that if they were going to have a Demon Realm transformation, I don't think they would have given 3 to Vegeta right now. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't think they would feel the need to show it because it would just get forgotten about anyway.
Yeah. I still think that if 4, my whole like theory was is if 4 is a thing in this series, it's not going to be called 4 specifically, and it's going to be something specific to them being in the Demon Realm. That way it doesn't conflict with the God forms that they learn post. Because I also...
We did draw from the Demon Realm air.
I mean, I guess never say never. I think the next true pop-off will be... Man, dude. Yeah, there's no world they could learn their god forms because this is still before Beerus shows up, so they wouldn't be a god. Someone had a really, really, really good theory, though, that we have to talk about.
What's that?
Like, we genuinely have to talk about.
What's that? Is this a part of book club?
Yeah. Do we want to... How do we...
Yeah, switch over. I mean, we could just do book club now and then get into the review. We already talked about the second episode a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That is the one thing when you get into like fighting episodes that it's like really
I mean, yeah, it was fucking awesome, dude. Go watch it. That's all we got to say.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so it was from shout out Blue's Clues.
Okay, put the pieces together.
Now, I will say, because if you didn't see last week's episode, book club is a little weird because last week's episode was ROF.
Okay.
Do you want to comment on any of the ROF stuff or do we want to leave that for another time?
Wow. It did get me into quite a few pickles on twitter.com.
I don't necessarily want to. We could probably almost do an entire episode.
We probably could. We don't have to go into it now.
I don't want to detract from the hype that was this episode.
Yeah, it deserves its own platform. It truly does.
I don't know.
I don't wanna. All
right. Episode 11 is called Legend. So I don't think I can hold on to this theory any longer before it's potentially explored in the show. Now, granted, we're past Legend, but I'm like, this is, I like this. I like, this is a cool theory. I've been sitting on this theory for a while since episode 2, but didn't want to come across too crackheady, lol, so I haven't brought it up yet. Then Daima episode 10 happened, and we've got the creation counterpart to Zeno's destruction in the character Rimas. I don't think crazy lore drops will stop coming in Daima, so I thought I'd have a crack at speaking this one into existence. My big tinfoil hat Daima lore drop theory after episode 10, I'm thinking more and more it wouldn't be that far-fetched, is that Neva wrote the Namekian Book of Legends, the book that contains the Super Saiyan God ritual. From memory, you two haven't seen the BOG retelling episodes of DBS where they made a really seemingly unnecessary change from the movie. In the anime, when Shenron is telling Goku and friends about the Super Saiyan God, he mentions that he is reading the ritual from the Namekian Book of Legends. It's elaborated on further by Toriyama in an interview. He even linked us the interview. Question 9 is where they start talking about it, but the whole interview is pretty interesting. Important to note that Yamoshi just went Super Saiyan, not Super Saiyan God. His death creates Super Saiyan God. Given Daima is adding more context to the Dragon Ball world and that most of the lore drops already given are rework/polishes from previous Toriyama interviews, this interview kind of reads like at least some Saiyans may have been in the Demon Realm. We know Saiyans were planet brokers, space pirates, even before Cold/Frieza took over. perhaps before free travel to and from the Demon Realm was closed by Abara. The Saiyans tried to take some land in the Demon Realm for themselves, and maybe this is what Marbo was alluding to when she said she sold Cybermen seeds to outsiders. The Saiyans found her, not the other way around. The interview says an unnamed Namekian elder writes down an extremely important Saiyan ritual in the book, Super Saiyan God. It always seemed weird to me why or how this would have happened unless they were on the same planet slash realm. I think Neva may be our guy. However, none of the main cast know about Super Saiyan God before Beerus mentions it, so I don't think that part would be revealed to them. Just that Saiyans traveled to and from the Demon Realm before travel was closed off, and maybe that Neva saw the transformation of the first legendary Super Saiyan Yamoshi. Neva is walking up to the ship at the end of episode 10. I think he may join them, and that Vegeta will go Super Saiyan against Tamagami too, and Neva will say something to them about Yamoshi. It didn't happen, but I won't lie. That, no, that was a mouthful, but I won't lie. None of this sounds that crazily far-fetched to me.
No, in fact, this would be awesome. I liked everything here. In fact, this is like one of those theories that's so good that now I'm going to be pissed if it doesn't happen. Because I like this. The stuff about Neva writing the book, I think that would be sick. Just learning more stuff, even just bringing Yamoshi back into it so that he's actually a character.
Yes.
I would like that. So if this is true, I mean, even if it's not, fine work here. This is A plus tier stuff right here. A great read. And yeah, I kind of want this to be real.
Yeah, I read that, and granted, this is from, you know, obviously, as you could tell, this was all from before we got to see episode 11, but I just thought
this
was
from 12 days ago, in fact, so this is a while ago.
I just thought it was so interesting. And now, granted, he didn't mention anything when Vegeta went Super Saiyan, but he is now a part of the party. He is now there. So the fact that he could do some more lore drops, as he already said, like, oh, I think I knew your father, to Piccolo. There definitely is a chance that he wrote this potential book and that he is aware of Saiyans and da, 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 da. He is like, y'all, I don't know. He does act, I wouldn't say confused, but curious about them. And also maybe like he doesn't fully understand what they are, but it could also be because they're children.
Yeah. Doesn't he? I think he literally says like,
he mentions their spiky hair, right?
To think there'd be somebody like this or some people like this or something. So that could play into a little bit of this theory. I don't remember where he says that though. So I could also just be lying.
There's a comment here. Because again, our last Daima episode we dropped on here was Why Don't People Like Dragon Ball Daima? Mm-hmm. Which is so funny now because now we're seeing all the pop off here. But someone said, I just think it's because they're not adults and they're kids. Also, I found the comment I talked about. I believe in our reaction. Again, you can see by becoming a key member, but boob jokes equals not funny. Hawk Tua equals funny. Yep, this is the TikTok brain rotted podcast I was expecting, Lamal.
Yeah, dude, that's just the way it is, dude. Yeah.
Let's be totally clear, by the way. I know this is going back two episodes, but the boob jokes, it was the way it was like the execution of it all was not, like, I don't know. Like, they didn't execute well, and it's not that we think Hawk Tua is funny. It's that we thought Hawk Bua was funny.
Speak for yourself, dude. Hawk Tua is the funniest thing I've ever heard, ever. And to be honest, I think her meme coin should replace the U.S. dollar. Okay, yeah. So... you speak for you, I'll speak for me and the rest of the civilized world.
Did you watch the Meat Canyon?
No, I didn't get the chance.
It's an interesting one, to say the least. and everything you just said kind of sounded like maybe you've been watching a lot the Talk to a Podcast, actually.
Actually, I think I did see it. It was the one with like the spit, right? And the spit like drips through the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, you don't understand, there's layers to this podcast.
layers.
It's
dude.
Actually funny. Like the more you watch, the funnier it gets, you know? It's like, ooh.
I mean, I agree with them.
Okay.
And I think you'll come around and you'll see too. You're going to agree too.
Ooh.
Just give it a chance.
Ooh. All right.
There's layers.
So if we're not going to touch on ROF, which I don't want to do.
I mean, that's like a whole shebang, you know, maybe we'll finally make peace with everybody.
Yeah. That's why I don't necessarily want to do that right now. Cause I don't want to bring the,
we can just, we'll do it later. We'll do a making peace episode. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree. So with that said, I think it's just time to rate the episode, Dotto.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll hold up my finger since I went already.
I mean, I don't really know that you need to do that.
Well, I can't hold up my fingers because you know why?
you don't have enough of them.
It's not that, Nana. It's just I could never have enough fingers to give something. You get to go first, but you got to say your score, man, before I can give my score.
I'm bringing back. This is a deep cut.
Oh shit, Nana!
This is a deep cut. You got to be a
this
big.
This was what I was referencing, dude.
You got to be a big Key Moments head for this. But I'm bringing it back.
Can we say our score at the same time?
All right, sure.
On the count of three on go.
Yeah.
All right, on go, dude. Count it down.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Kaioten.
Yes. Dude. Yes, dude. Yes. See, Nano, this fucking deserves the Kaioten, okay?
Man, dude.
When you first did it, I didn't understand, but now I get it.
Dude,
I get it.
This was just genuinely so good. Like, this goes down as one of the better episodes of Dragon Ball ever. Like, this episode was crazy.
I agree.
The juggling of the two fights, the back and like, it was just all so good, man. Oh,
and what's crazy, Nano, is I don't think this is going to be the best episode of
Daima. Not even.
I honestly, it might not even be top three by the time we're done.
You know what? I think you actually could be right on that. I genuinely think they're going to cook, man. I don't know, dude.
I mean, this convinced me.
All right, so since we're already done, I did want to ask you one thing, and since we're late into this, it's whatever on spoilers. Have you seen Sonic 3 yet?
I did, yes. I did see
dude,
Sonic
let's
3.
Let's talk about it for a second, man. Dude, was that shit just...
We got to start doing more podcasts about random shit, dude.
We do.
Because, yes.
Dude, Sonic
So, spoilers 3. For Sonic 3. After this part in 3, 2, 1, you're in the spoiler zone. Yeah, dude, I really liked it. I think it's the best Sonic movie by far. And I wish... I'm not going to say they did it perfect, because I do think they could have given us more.
Yeah.
But it got very Dragon Ball in that theater very quickly. My favorite scene, the first shadow, like super shadow parry that he hits, that shit was straight out of Broly.
Oh, yes.
Straight when he fucking puts the hand up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I saw that. I was like, whoa, hold on. It's getting fucking serious.
Dude.
I didn't know it was going to get serious like this.
I didn't either. I said this in another video. I don't know how you rank them. I think for me, it would go 3-1-2. I think 2 is easily the weakest of them. I rewatched 1. So it's actually a really special day for me, Dotto, because I took my kid to go see Sonic 3. It was the first time he and I have ever...
I was going to say, I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, it was the first time he and I had ever went to see a movie, just he and I. Like, we've always went with me, him, and Brianna. And so I was like, obviously, we have a 2-year-old down. I'm not going to be that person that takes the 2-year-old to the theater that he doesn't want to sit there for more than like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not going to be a fun time for anyone.
He wouldn't even understand.
No, and there's that too. So just me and instead of trying to find accommodations, just me and Ryder went. And when we got back, I bought these Legos for us to build for his like grandparents and his mom and aunt and all of that. And so we built them when we watched Sonic 1 and half of Sonic 2 while building those. So I got to watch pretty much all three movies in the same day. Sonic 1 is better than I felt like I remembered it was. Like, Sonic 1 is a really good origin. Let's introduce everyone to this character story and also make it make sense why he's here and not in normal, like, Green Hill Zone or whatever.
Yeah.
But with all that said, and I'm sure we could get into, like, the nitpicky things of Sonic 3, because I'm, like... But at the end of the day, Sonic 3 is just, like, such a good IRL representation of what Sonic is. It's insane. Like, I cannot believe, like, how much they got away with in that movie.
I think they could. My thing is, I think they could have gotten away with more, but just like you, after watching Sonic 3, I was just leaving the TV on for my dog, actually. So I put on Sonic 2. So I didn't actually watch it, but fuck me, is that movie so slow? Like, I put it on, went up, did work, worked on the office. 40 minutes later, I came back down, and they weren't even at what I would consider like the big action, the first big action set piece. I was like, oh my God. Like, in Sonic 3, We're fighting Shadow in the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
You know, we're getting into the nitty gritty of it. He's hitting fucking gun kick flips and like motorcycle up a mountain. How did your son like the movie? Like, was he hyped up after it?
Yes, man. When they went super, like he like lost his mind. Also, we're already in spoiler talk, so we can talk about this. He actually called out Amy in the mid-roll credits before I did.
Oh shit. See that I actually buy that, Ditto, because the reason I asked is because, first of all, kids, this generation of kids is very respectful, by the way, because I thought I was in an adult theater because it was like mostly quiet and there was some laughs and stuff. Perfect stuff. And then like at the end, like the Amy scene, at least 20 different kid voices at Amy, yes. Amy. Oh my God. I was like, hold that. Cause I tweeted out, I don't know if you saw this. I was like, Sonic must've had the greatest franchise comeback of all time. Cause I'm not even lying. 20 kids, Nano, as they're leaving the theater, like, Sonic's so cool. Sonic's awesome. Amy and Metal Sonic. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, these guys sound like me 20 years ago when playing fucking Sonic Adventure 2.
Nah, dude. Sonic is huge, man. My child has watched like two or three different Sonic series.
Yeah, and then not to be like a curmudgeon adult about it or whatever the fuck the word is, but immediately in my head, I was like, these guys are going to make bank. I immediately asked Kenzie and the people I went with, I was like, how many of these movies do you think they're going to get away with?
A lot.
Because they're going on four on Amy and Metal Sonic, and the kids were, you know, they were craving for more. The kids waited all the way for the second post-credit scene, and that shit was forever. They're going to make like fucking 10 of these things then.
Yes. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I will say not to put too much glaze on this movie, but I think that mid-roll credit scene is probably like a top three, like mid-roll credit scene. Like they're usually are never that good like that, because I don't know I don't know how you were, but like, I thought the Metal Sonic bit was going to be the end of it. I did not think we were getting like another character reveal. I feel like getting to see Metal Sonic and him looking as good as he looked, and then like them surrounding, like I thought that was going to be it, and it was going to end to set up for the next one. And then and I felt like it even had a shot, like there's a frame, because I've rewatched it now on YouTube, but there's a frame where it definitely feels like that's where it's going to cut off, and then her hammer comes in, and then they reveal Amy too, and I was like, dude, what the heck? This is like pound for pound one of the best middle credit scene ever. Like, what the hell is happening, bro?
I know, and the kids were like, this is definitely going to be a mid-roll credit scene that when we're like 55, people are going to talk about on the internet and like Reddit threads, like, remember how the greatest scene of all time, like, oh, I was so hyped when that happened. I actually thought it was a little too much, Nato, because from the very first Sonic movie, and I'm actually pissed because I was waiting for this reveal, basically. Ever since Robotnik took the first like blue quill and like started like zapping himself,
yeah,
I was like, oh shit, that he's gonna like put that in the machine, that's gonna be like the first little schematic for Metal Sonic. And I was like, this is going to be so sick. And then he shows up and gets his ass beat. I was like, oh, shit. All right. I'm still hyped. I still think it's sick. But yes, it went so long. It was literally like a 5-minute scene, it felt like, in the theater, at least.
It did.
It was like a battle scene. And then Amy comes in. Amy gets revealed. I mean, it easily, at that point, could have gone. She could have said, I'm Amy. And let's do this. I do wonder what they're going to do with her. I guess she's going to be more like modern Amy. I guess when I was a kid, the only thing Amy ever did was say, I like Sonic and follow Sonic around the whole time. I doubt that'll be the extent of her character this time.
Modern Amy. Have you watched the Netflix series?
No.
I've only seen the majority of one. I've not watched much of two. He watched most of two without me. But yeah, she's a substantially different character and more modern era.
I would say she kind of has to be.
I mean, yes,
like literally back in the day, like her character was just like, I like Sonic, that's it, that's the whole that's it, that's all they wrote for me.
I think my other big complaint about this film would be just like not letting Live and Learn just play and not using more of the music, like just let that shit play.
You're based for that. I kind of gave it, I was like, I think they could have gotten away with more. I still think they're holding on, which I respect. I actually respect when an interpretation, a live action anyway, like doesn't just cram everything in because it was in the game, it was in the anime, but why do you feel the need to like artsy up Live and Learn and like cut away and cut back? I promise you, just let the full track play. You can like, I like their orchestral remix.
Yeah, it's
but, like,
good.
Maybe add some more lyrics, you know, like throw in more Live and Learn. Keep it continuous. I promise you, if it was 4 minutes straight and it was just literally an AMV of Live and Learn, it would have been three times better. It was still good. I'm glad they included it, but it could have been three times better if they just let that shit play.
How did you feel? I think back now constantly, anytime I think of an AMV, They basically made an AMV in Deadpool. Like, Deadpool and Wolverine, that ending sequence to their, like, choir version of Like a Prayer, is they basically made an AMV. Did you like that? Yeah, sure, like that moment, right?
I do. I also, I think a lot of people like Deadpool 3's beginning moment, which is basically an AMV. Like,
yes.
A bye-bye-bye.
Yeah.
I think people are okay with, like, big, extravagant AMV-esque moments.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. They should have just done this here. They should have just done it here.
I literally promise, Nano, the kids would have loved it even more. Adults would have loved it even more. I do think even just them cutting away from it was kind of a big mistake. I don't know if you remember, but it, like, starts with Live and Learn, and then they cut to some Robotnik stuff, and then they go back to it and, like, kind of keep playing. It's like, I think if it was just one straight, like, 5 minutes, that would have felt nice.
Yeah.
I will say another thing that surprised me about Sonic 3, and, like, actually I liked it a lot, not only because it was funny, but because, I don't know, it just made me smile because it didn't feel like something that would be in a movie nowadays. But when the old one makes the, I can't believe this, I know, grandson, women in the military. I thought that shit was so fucking funny. Yeah. I thought that shit was hilarious. I was like, I did not think Sonic 3 would take it there.
Yeah, okay. No. I knew. I was like, I wonder if he's about to say that. Yep.
And they play, the thing I liked about it, Nano, this is more from a societal, they gave people the ability to use their media literacy. They played it completely straight. Nobody said, like, you can't say that, or like, oh, what? They just let him say it, and then they gave, like, one, like, disgusted reaction shot, and it was just on to the next plop. I was like, damn, that was a good joke. Wow. That, and also, I gotta bring up the next funniest part of the fucking film. When old man Robotnik fucking dies like a mosquito, that shit was cartoonishly funny to me.
Yeah, I.
You didn't think that shit was fucking funny? I thought that shit was hilarious, dude.
Do you think Robotnik is actually dead?
No, I mean the young one.
Yes, yeah.
No, I think I also think it's just getting comical to the point of, I think they literally just, every time, they don't know if Jim Carrey's going to sign the contract, so they have to like half kill him off every time.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. If Jim Carrey says yes, then no, he's not dead. If Jim Carrey says no, then yes, he's dead.
I feel like every interview I've seen with Jim Carrey, he enjoys being in this series, though.
I mean, I would too if I was him. They just basically let him do whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah. It might as well be like, I don't know the dude personally, but it feels like he has script control over half the script.
I mean,
and I don't think
the scenes that he are in are really good. You know, a character that I'm like, man, I don't know what it is. I hope you feel the same way. I hope I'm not about to say this. And
I think you're about to say something completely based again.
I think they've done really good with Agent Stone.
Yes. And unironically, they didn't really let him shine this much in this movie. But in the second Sonic movie, he was my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he is so fucking funny as a character. And it's kind of made me, every time I've left the Sonic movie theater, I've said this, but after 3 and, like, all the different jokes and things I laughed at, like, there is stuff with the writing I don't like, but in terms of, like, getting laughs out of me, this shit does hit pretty consistently, especially with Stone. Like, in this one, I guess the big thing that I laughed at was, like, when Eggman rips his shirt off and says, like, use this as fabric. I thought that was funny. But then seeing him in the next scene with clearly, like, he was missing his undershirt, like, still, I was like, okay, that was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I like that character. Did you watch Knuckles?
I didn't watch it, but I do want to watch it now.
Dude, it's... Some people listening might get mad at me for this, but it really is just like the Wade movie. That's like the Wade series. I know that's like the joke around it, but I watched up until there was a musical act at one point, which maybe is a reference to one of the games. I don't really understand, but I was like, okay, I'll come back and I'll watch the finale with him, because my son watched all of it. And which I think the musical act, I think I only missed like one episode, but dude, I could not get into that series. And I get that, like, having Knuckles on screen is very expensive, right? To make him still look as good as he does in the film, he's very expensive to have. So it really, really, really relies on it just being mostly a Wade show. Like, I would say Knuckles is on screen for maybe 10% of that series. Yeah. That's not even a joke.
That's what I assumed.
So
I don't hate Wade in the movies.
No, though. Dude, Wade is a funny character, and I have to imagine that they wished the whole like Flames of Disaster meme would have like blown up closer to when the series actually came out and not like months later. But that Flames of Disaster, I don't know. That series has some like okay moments, but I do wish it was more Knuckles. I'm saying all this though because unironically, if they wanted to give a character a series like that where they called it like Shadow, but it's mostly just the other character, Stone would probably be like one of the better characters to do that with.
He's so funny. So I agree. Every time he's on screen, it's usually like the best part of the movie.
But yeah, dude, the part where they obviously make amends and fight together and they like
they hit the pose and like the dap up and shit.
Yes, dude. And like the music starts playing again. Yeah. My biggest complaint of that whole film is just not letting Live and Learn, like finally doing it and finally letting have that song and not letting it just full on play. Cause instead it's like the edited version by Junkie or whatever that does the OST for these films. Like just not letting that just totally like just play, I think is like the biggest sin they did in the whole film. Otherwise, I think they executed well. Yeah, you're right. The pacing was way better. I do think the Maria stuff was not like, I don't know that my son totally understood what was going on with Maria. I don't know if they did a very good job of explaining that 100%.
Yeah, I feel like they could have,
but I don't know how much more you would have focused on that. Cause that's not really what it was, you know, you're just trying to slowly like giving that drip of like Shadow's background, but it is what it is. Again, I don't want to get too nitpicky. It was a good time and I look forward to watching it again. My kid actually asked me to go see it again in theaters. And I was like,
I've been rethinking, like I kind of want to
say,
cause it was funny. It was just a fun time. My only gripes with it would be like, you know, some stuff just kind of happens. Like I thought, again, it was funny. I wish it was taken out of the movie because it led to that women in the military line thing. But like the anti-gravity chamber and like that's the whole like defense mechanism and shit. And the only fan thing, the only thing I actually care about is that Tails kind of got bitched in this movie. Like he didn't really do anything that cool. And then when he went to save Sonic at the end, he passed out and then Knuckles had to save both of them. I was like, Tails didn't really get a lot of shine in this one.
I guess that's fair, but I do think they did a really good job with the whole like team dynamic of those three, though.
Because I do think Knuckles was so cool in this movie.
Yes. I've watched several of the shows now. Not 100% because it's like I'm in and out because he watches some episodes without me. But I've seen a lot of the more modern era shows. And in the more modern era shows, like they don't feel very teamy. Like Knuckles in the shows is closer to like a true Vegeta, that like the Vegeta that stands over in the corner and turns his back to him, you know what I mean, and he only comes and does something when like you really need him to, and then he, you know, it doesn't get anything done. Like that, the dynamic between the three of them I felt like was really good in this movie versus like kind of how they've been portrayed in some of the shows recent ish so I don't know, I liked their dynamic. But yeah, maybe some aspects of that caused like Tails to kind of catch like the short end of the stick there.
I do think overall it was good though. I don't think it was necessarily a huge problem because they still were teaming up, and I think it's something that's only going to, they're going to do more of it.
Yes.
Because I feel like slowly, and maybe not slowly, they're leaning more into the action. They're leaning off the human characters, which I don't mind the human characters actually. Specifically Stone and Eggman, but and Wade, I guess. But they're leaning more into action. They're like, okay, we can kind of just play this shit pretty straight, actually. Like, we can just be Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think it's also because the movies are doing so well and they can get more budget, right? So they can have them on screen more and they don't need the human actors as much, which...
If this is still a budget thing, whoever is running this... I mean, just from the reactions I saw, you know, I don't have the data and shit, but there's no way that this shouldn't be getting milked to shit right now. Like, this is prime milking time.
It's made, as of the filming of this right now, it's almost made $100 million just domestically in a week.
Yeah, and that's not even with the merchandising that you get off this and, like, all the other, like...
It's not launched internationally, I think, even yet. It's still not launched internationally. It doesn't open, or maybe it did just open or something like that. I don't know. It still hasn't got to make its money internationally yet, which is where a lot of it will come, too. So, like, this movie... Yeah, you're right. They need to just give them money because this movie is going to... this will probably continue. This will probably gross over $500 million or something worldwide if I were a betting man. Dude, for the hell of it, you want to give it a rating? Just because?
Yeah, I will.
All right, I'm ready.
You got your hand up?
Sure. Yeah. I'll.
I'm gonna give it. I'm just gonna give it on my enjoyment. Okay. So no movie sticklers coming here, but I would say easy. I'm going out of five. It's a movie. You know, you got to go out of five.
Oh, out of five? Well, hang on then.
I mean, it's a movie for me. You know, I always go 5 stars for movies.
Bro's writing his letterbox review. I do need to review this actually on my letterbox now that I'm thinking about it.
I got lazy with that too. But I would say just off pure enjoyment, I'd give this I want to be realistic. I'll just say four. I'll say 4 stars for now. That's pretty high for me, actually.
That's what I just gave it, yeah. It's an easy four.
That's really high for me. And I'm not saying it gets that purely off the basis of its script and everything, but just pure enjoyment. Like, I walked out of the theater. Every time I walk out of one of these Sonic movies, all I'm thinking about is, oh, I can't wait to see what they do for the next Sonic movie. So far, that hasn't disappointed just yet.
We got a date, right, for Sonic 4?
Do we?
I think we did.
Oh, I don't know that.
Spring, what the fuck? Spring 2027.
Oof, man, that's so far away.
It's 2 years. They've been averaging about one every 2 years. I mean, it's 2025 in about 4 days, Dotto. So, like,
yeah, I guess you're right.
Also, this is like completely going completely sideways. I just want to mention this somewhere in the podcast. I finally watched Interstellar for the first time.
Wow,
ever.
Fucking 80 years late,
dude. It was so good.
We're not. Are we?
No.
Yeah, Interstellar is good, Neto.
I'm still an Inception. I think Inception is the better movie of the two. That's always a discussion that, for whatever reason, comes up, even though they are like drastically different films. Like, I don't think a single aspect of that movie is really, really close at all, in the fact that it has like a twist. But I still think I like Inception substantially more. But Interstellar was good, though. Yeah, Interstellar was really good. So I finally understand all the memes. I you know, because people always love to use that Matthew McConaughey like watching something meme.
Don't let me leave, Murph.
And all of that. Like, yeah, I finally understand like all of those things, because I obviously did not. But anyways, I finally got to watch it. I think I mentioned that on the. I'm only even bringing this up because I feel like I mentioned that on the podcast. I finally got to watch Interstellar. So there you
Rating?
Go. Anyways, Dotto, I think I hear
you're not
going
to rate it, bro? You're not going to rate it? Yeah, music's coming in, but wait, yeah, last second, wait. Rate. The music's coming in, hurry.
No, wait, I'm not lazy on that one. Hang on.
Oh, why, you did?
Oh, this might actually look bad, because now we'll have a direct comparison for what I'm rating Sonic to.
Yeah, now it's all on the line. Ooh. So Sonic is a 4, while Interstellar.
I gave Interstellar a 4, too.
He's just as good as Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Okay.
I feel like you rate those differently, though. Like, that's not...
Okay, all right, buddy. Save it for the music, okay?
Oh, man.
Save it for the music.